Thank you for coming to We've Been Everywhere. Today's speaker is Umadora Swamy. She has been with Western since 2006, and she is the coordinator of bibliographic access, which I was trying to commit to memory and could not. So she's here to tell us about South India, which, as I understand, is the state next door to where she was born and raised. So if you would please welcome Uma.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you all for coming. So, yeah, I'll be talking about Thanjavur. In Tamil is one of the South Indian languages. It's called, that place is called Thanjavur. It's in South India. It's in Tamil Nadu. The British used to pronounce it as Tanjo. So, Sister Isaac, no. The second one. I tried before, it worked.
It's always the way.
No problem.
Technology is evil.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. I
yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, this will work now too.
It's okay.
Easy to one. Use the arrows.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll let you guys read this. And now next to India. Oh, sorry, there was a map. That's the map of India. That's the Arabian Sea, Bay of Bengal, and then bottom. You have Indian Ocean. Yeah, in somewhere around 1498, Vasco da Gama, he landed here in the state of Kerala. So after that, the course of history changed. Yeah. And then right now, yeah, India is divided into like 29 states and then 7 union territories. Like the states, they have their own, there's a central government in Delhi. And then the states have their own government, but then the union territories are governed by the central government. And India is a democratic republic. Yeah, there's a president and then prime minister and then 2 houses of parliament. And then we have our neighbors as China, Nepal, Pakistan, Burma, Bangladesh and all that. I mean, we still have border disputes with China and Pakistan over the Kashmir region. In ancient India, the states came in the year 1956 after the British left. The British left India in 1947, and then in 1956, the states got reorganized. So before that, in ancient India, like medieval India, India was divided into princely kingdoms. Like each region had their own kings. So it wasn't really unified. Yeah, like this is the map of South India during ancient medieval times. So those were all the regional kingdoms. So I'll just briefly talk about this Chola dynasty. This dynasty, they originated in the river valley, so it was very fertile. The land was fertile, so they could grow good rice crops, coconut trees, so people were well off then. They established a powerful monarchy, and then their period was 19th and 13th century. And Trichy was its oldest capital, and then later, when the kings kept changing, they moved the capital to Thanjavur, what I'm going to talk about. And then, yeah, like now when new leaders come into power, they change. So same thing. And then they were really organized and good at revenue administration, village self-government, irrigation, and all that. And then the sources for all this is literature, inscriptions, and foreign accounts. Yeah, there used to be travelers from China, Indonesia, Malaysia. Now, why are the sea? So, a little bit about the economy. Agriculture, cattle rearing, weaving, fishing trade was the main occupation. Trade was done through guild system. Like in Europe, they had feudal system. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so similar. Yeah, land revenue was a major source of income. Like people would donate lands for the construction of temples. Yeah, India used to be rich with textiles, spices, jewels, all those ivory, ebony. So they traded with many Asian countries. And after Vasco da Gama landed India, lots of European countries like the French, the Dutch, the British, they all started trading with India. And then they were all, like I mentioned, there were many kingdoms, right? So each king, so they were not, there wasn't any unity. So that's when the French and the British, they started fighting to establish their power, and finally the British took over and they ruled like for 200 years in India. Yeah, all that, because of, they wanted all the, they developed India too with all the road systems, railways, transportation, and also they earned a lot of wealth too from India. Yeah, this is the, this thing, this is where those Chola kingdom, they ruled, and the trade route was all the way from here and up to the China. This is where Thailand is. Yeah. Thailand is here. Cambodia is over here. Yeah, so they traded with all those countries. Malaysia also is somewhere here. Malaysia, Indonesia, etc. A little bit about the culture. Art, architecture, religion, literature were at great heights. And then in the north, like Buddhism was really spreading, because Hinduism, like people had to learn Sanskrit. It was just limited to one class, like the Brahmins, so it was complicated. So Buddhism was much easier, and so that was getting popular. So in the south, those two sects of Hinduism, Shaivism and Vaishnavism, there are two deities in Hinduism, like Shiva and Vishnu. Worshippers of Shiva are called Shaivites, and worshippers of Vishnu are called Vaishnavites. I mean, there's no, like in Christianity, you have Protestantism, Catholicism, but then there's no antagonism. Like, people praying Shiva can pray Vishnu too. And then, yeah, during the period of those Chola kings, temples were important centers of worship and also economic activities. People would come and trade stuff. Yeah, those are the important towns during those times. I mean, they built like huge temples in those places. So, I mean, if you go to those temples, it takes at least like two hours to see everything and get out of it. So the temple architecture in South India, it's built on Dravidian style. So that Maya Mata and Manasara text on how you build on structures and all that stuff. It's called Vastu Shastra. Like in Chinese, they have that Feng Shui, mm-hmm. like the directions of the doors and all that stuff. So the Dravidian style, it's unique only in South India. Like in the North, there are not much. They have a different style, Nagara style. So it's a little different from this. Usually it has porches that in Dravidian it's called Mantapas, and then Gopuram. Gopuram is like towers, and then Garbhagriha is the sanctum, sanctorum. And then some temples will have water tanks, and they call it Kalyani, Pushkarini. And then all those temples were built in sandstone and granite. And then the rest are mostly pictures, because pictures can speak much better than me. The main tourist attraction in Tanjavur is Brihadeshwara Temple. I got that from UNESCO website. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. They say Chola architecture and art was at its best. It was built by that king named Rajaraja Chola. He went on an expedition and he came back successfully, so he wanted to be thankful to God. He used to worship that god, so Shiva, so he built a huge temple. I mean, it took like 7 years for them to complete the temple. And the architect's name was Sama Varma. And it's all granite, and then the temple tower is about 216 feet, and the dome weighs about 80 tons. And the deity is in the form of Shivalingam, which I'll show it to you later. It's about 12 feet high, and it's really wide. It's huge. People have to use ladders to perform rituals. And then there's a statue of Nandi, which is bull. Yeah, there are some legendary stories. And then, there are expansive and exquisite mural paintings on walls. And then there used to be invasions from the north, like Muslim rulers, they would come and destroy the temples and statues in the south. And then, so they added walls just to protect the temples. And then, I forgot to say this, that king Rajaraja Chola, he called it as Dakshina Meru. Dakshina in Sanskrit means south, and Meru is the name of a mountain. Because of its heights, that's the outside wall, fort, that was built later on, like in the 16th century. It's really thick. And then, you can see like step-like structure. The sentinels would stand on those steps and watch. This is another wall, second wall.
It's huge.
Yeah, the temple, wow. It was closed. There are hours when the temples are open, like from morning they open till 1, and then they open at 4. So we were waiting over there. It was in that walls, cannon walls. These all came later on, like 15th century, 16th century. This is the third, when I said tower, Gopuram, that's it. And this is all granite. Yeah, here's a closer look. All those dancing figures is Shiva. It's in stone. So they sculpted everything in stone. Yeah, all those figures are again from Hindu legends, mythology, or whatever it is. Here's a closer look. And this thing, it's in Tamil language. It's called Shiva Shiva, name of the deity.
Are those bells hanging there? Under the sun.
Yeah, this is a bull. Nandi. Yeah, I'll show it. There's a picture of the bull. Yeah, this is another entrance that we have to go through several entrances before you actually go. This is the main temple. People were all over, so my nephew, didn't get the picture, bottom part.
Can you climb up there?
Probably people to clean and all that stuff.
Yeah.
The pigeons had made nests.
Oh, yeah.
lots of.
Sure.
And this is all one rock that I said it weighs like 80 tons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when I went there, it was like, why didn't I come see this all these days. I thought like my two eyes are not enough. Yeah, it's like very, very detailed, and they put in a lot of work.
How did they get that rock up there?
Yeah, and that's back in those days, like thousand years. The temple is like 1,000 years old. Yeah. I mean, now with all the equipment, so probably it wouldn't be so great building this guy back then. Yeah, here's the...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's huge. There's a symbolism, like a bull, it used to be the wagon of Shiva. Shiva has been worshipped since long, like... In India, that Indus Valley civilization, like the date is like 1500 BC before Christ. Mm-hmm. So at that time they had cattle, and agriculture was the occupation. So people used to go around through cattle and this kind of stuff. So it was like a wagon of transportation. Mm-hmm. So it symbolizes service, dedication, devotedness, righteousness. So they have all those kind of stories. So I've seen people, like, sometimes when they go to temples, they have like smaller statues of bull, and then they'll whisper their wishes through those nandis. It's called nandi in Indian language, through the bull's ear. So that if the bull tells Shiva, Shiva would listen. That's how in real life too. If somebody who's very close to someone, and that person tells that person, they would listen to them, right? Like for favors and all that stuff. So this is the painting in the ceiling. It's all getting old, you can tell. It's called like fresco painting or whatever. They had it inside the temple too, but then there were too many people. So we were more concentrating on the deity, and we didn't take pictures. So. Usually when you go to temples in India, you take off your shoes, so you can see people walking bare feet. So we came through all those entrances, and then we still haven't reached the main. Yeah, this is the deity inside. This is about 12 feet. Usually they do like Abhishekam. Abhishekam means like they pour milk, honey, water, over the deity, and then sometimes fruits and all that thing. Mm-hmm. And then what they wash everything off, and then they decorate it with flowers and all. It's all they have different kinds of decorations on different days. Yeah, this is the picture of Shiva. Yeah, in Shiva temples you'll see this statue. This is kind of like yoga pose. You know, when they do yoga, they say Om, right? So the origin is this from Shiva. Yeah, he used to do a lot of meditation. That's the side wall. That's my nephew in it. And y'all can see it's all stone.
This isn't the one in medical school now, is it?
No, this is my... This
like,
is my.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, I'm sure he's there. This is my sister's son.
Okay.
Yeah, here's the side wall again. Yeah, you can see all those sculpture. Yeah, like stone sculpture and bronze sculpture. Yeah. Was at its height during that game. Okay. Yeah, from this you can tell it's all stone. This is the sculpture of a goddess. And the guess the name of that concert of Shiva. Probably Uma Devi. Yeah, this looks like a picture of a woman who's about to deliver. Yeah. is the back portion. Yeah, we saw many foreigners over there. Yeah, whenever we see, they are the ones who are more, they are surprised by these buildings. For us, it's kind of, since we see so many temples, it's kind of calm. Yeah. See, these are all sculptures and they're all the figures from the legends. This one, I think, it's a lion. Yeah. And here, you'll see inscriptions. That's me and my nephew. That's my mom's silk sari. My mom wasn't with, so my sisters asked me to wear my mom's sari. Yeah. All these inscriptions are in Tamil. Yeah, it's really old Tamil. My sisters, they couldn't read it. Dina, you had said up, these are bells. And then here, earlier I had mentioned like temples were important centers of trade, economic. Yeah, all these pillars you all see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where people would trade their goods. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they would come from far off places, so it would be a resting place. So these dolls are from that place. It's called Tanjavur dolls. Mm-hmm. If you touch it, they start shaking. Yeah. They're called dancing dolls. And these are made from coconut fiber. Yeah, they weave it into coconut. Earlier I had mentioned about pillared halls. Yeah, this is from another temple. So around the temple, like, you have to walk through all these pillared halls. Yeah. And all these pillars are in stone. And then they'll have deities along the way. And yeah, this Jack knows about this. The mountain here, this is a holy mountain. It's called Mount Arunachala. So people go around the mountain, like it's about 12 kilometers, so they go around that. And many foreigners, they come and they do meditation. Like there was a Indian saint, like he renounced worldly life when he was a teenager, and he came here and just sat down, did meditation, and there's an ashram, so many people from London and other countries, they come and see. Yeah, this is a painted tower. This is from another temple. Again, all these, they have all these figures from.
Do they paint that often?
Huh?
Or is that old paint?
It's old. Probably they upkeep it. They clean it. Like, there are like, we think like the universe is made up of five elements, like water, fire, air, space. So there are five Shiva temples representing all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's a painted bull. It's called Nandi. The female one, they call it Nandini. And I mentioned about water tank, so that's the one. This is from another temple. Yeah, another, like, in some temples there are like 1,000 pillars. Yeah, so that's where like trade activities used to take place. And this is the classical dance form of South India. It's called Bharatanatyam, and it originated in that place. They developed it in Tanjavur. Those were school kids, and this was from Chidambaram, that picture. I have a video of that dance, so if we have time later, I'll show. These are, yeah, lamps. This was from a shop. So next to, yeah, we went to a, this is a, yeah, I'm done with Tanjavur now. So this church, it's in Velankanni. It's really very famous. It was built in 1700s, and it's called like Lady of Good Health Church. Yeah, they talk about, there are stories about apparitions, Mary appearing to a little boy who was paralyzed, and then he got cured, and then also Mary or Jesus, whoever saved the Portuguese sailors who were struck in a violent storm. So this was built by those Portuguese merchants in the 1700s. I mean, here, this part, it's all sand. Sometimes people pray to the deity there, and then when they get cured, they just to say thanks or whatever, they kneel down in the sand and they walk to the kneel and go up to the church. I mean, inside people are praying, so we didn't want to do, but then we bought a photo, but then this is how the statue is inside the church. Mary and Jesus, and the church looks like this. Yeah, every year like 20 million people, this is that place. And this crib was at the resort we stayed. We just went just after Christmas, so it was everything. But yeah, the seashore was just 2 blocks away from that church.
Wow. Yeah.
It's on that Coromandel coast. It's still in Tamil Nadu. That's my sister. It's a shop selling goods. Yeah, this was cute. I mean, my 16-year-old nephew, when he saw this picture, he said, "Why don't humans live like this?" So that's why I shouldn't share it. I mean, they ate together, they swam together. That's cool. Yeah, this is turkeys. Turkey in India. That was the resort we stayed in. And my nephew, he was our camera guy. And yeah, rice fields. This is our rice fields look. And then they have coconut trees and other palm trees. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes you'll see cows on streets. So. And also, intruders. Sometimes they come into your garden looking for food. Glenda wanted to see pictures of houses. And this is, yeah, my house. My house means the house my dad built. Yeah, since my parents had 5 daughters, my dad wanted something. So he got those 5 arches built. yeah, they have a lot of mangoes in South India. So summertime would be the best time to taste South Indian. That's my brother and sister-in-law on their farm. Like they grow apples, yeah. Yeah. The best variety in mangoes is Alfonso. Yeah, very, very, very sweet. The mangoes we get here in Walmart, they don't even smell like mangoes. That's their daughter and a dog. She loves dogs. Yeah, that's Aditya.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's not a chubby kid anymore. Yeah, that's inside the hospital. So lots of high-tech hospitals in India. So what some Westerners do is, since health cost is so much, like if they have surgeries to be done, they fly to India, it's a little cheaper than the US. This is how a commissioner's office looks like, my brother's office. I mean, Now he's retired a year ago. That was their house. Yeah, in India, if you're like really like commissioners, yeah, they, I mean, they work really hard, but then their family members get to enjoy. Yeah, this picture was shot in January. In January, there's a festival. They worship the sun just to say thanks. It's also a kind of harvesting season, like how people say thanks, you're doing Thanksgiving. So just, yeah, because the sun is responsible for, yeah, the growth of plants and all that, so they worship the sun. So that's why they, this picture was there. Yeah, they put flower decorations just to be safe and all that, they just pray. So this is the inside of their house, my brother's house. Yeah. Yeah, in India they have separate place to worship. Those of you who have been to my house, I just have it on a little table, but then this is how it would look. They have a separate room. That's my mom and dad. This is, yeah, food. Yeah, a lot of people eat meat in India. So, yeah. I mean, they eat beef too. I mean, some don't consume beef, so, but then many Hindus do eat beef. Beef is actually cheaper than lamb and fish. Yeah, Glenda wanted to see pictures of malls in India. So that's in, yeah, that's from Bangalore. Where I'm from. All westernized malls.
Like a soccer ball.
Another picture.
Oh,
yeah, if you're traveling in India, usually people know, at least in the cities, usually people know English. Yeah. Because Britishers stayed there for 200 years.
Yeah.
So. This is all in Bangalore. Yeah. Y'all can tell that we like colors in India. Yeah, that's like everyday outfit.
Oh.
If I wear sari here, people ask me, are you going on a date? So I try not to wear. Jack and Leslie have been to this place, I think. Brinda, this is in Mysore. Have you been there, Jack?
Yeah.
It's called Brindavan Gardens. Yeah. That's my other brother, his wife, and men. My sisters and my nephews. This is my little nephew. Yeah, he's just like my dad. So here in this picture, my dad is there. Yeah, those kids were all so little. This is like 14. My niece was like 4 years, so 14 years ago, a long time ago. And my dad was alive. Time just flies. And now time for questions.
Who lives? Do you still have your father's home?
Yeah, that home is still there. My brother wanted to demolish it and build apartments. But then my other brother, he wants to move in there. So, yeah, my sisters and all, that's where I live when I go there. There's like two houses in the ground floor, top, big ones.
Curious about the colorings on the buildings and the decorations. The blue is so vivid. Years ago, they used to take lapis lazuli, lazuli stone, and crush it up. It was a semi-precious stone, and they used to crush it up and make paint out of it. I'm wondering, how did they get the beautiful colors, do you know?
For the houses?
Well, when I was looking at the temples, the one that was colored all the way and the
temple.
Beautiful paintings.
Yeah, long time ago, right now they use all the chemical stuff for paintings,
yeah.
But then some of those temples were painted long time ago. They use like natural dyes.
Yeah,
some plants.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a name. I can find them.
Yeah.
But it was all
local plants?
Yeah, plant-based dyes.
Yeah.
But probably now they use chemicals. And, yeah.
But they try to match the original color.
Yeah, yeah.
Wondering, do you have any idea how long it takes to build one of those? The size and all that carving, how long does it take to...
That temple, that Thanjavur temple, that took like 7 years. Yeah.
Just 7 years.
I know, I mean,
so much. No, I mean, so many people would have worked. Yeah. But, yeah, but that king, he started it, inaugurated, and then he installed that deity. 7 years is a long time. Yeah, I have this video of that. I wanted to show that. I should say. It's slow at the beginning, but then later on the steps and all, they do it faster. Through this dance, they tell stories and make facial expressions. Thank you.
have silly Americans try to do that.
Like in California, there's a lady, Jack, there's that singer, his wife, she does that dance.
Yes.
She teaches
yoga. There are many
yoga.
Of her that have gone there.
Many of them.
It takes years to get that
her.
Precision. Because you notice everything about her is totally precision. Mm-hmm. Even the way she has her placed her thumbs at the top of her namaste.
First they do salutation.
Yeah.
Earlier I mentioned Shiva deity. He used to, do Shiva Tanda. So they do salutation to that deity and then they stop the dance. Some of them really, they do fast dances. And then they used to perform these dances in the temples. And later on, there used to be just groups of all beautiful women performing dances, and then people started misusing, and then prostitution started. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there was a separate class called Devadasis. So they were all dancers. Danced in the temples.
I was just thinking of a King and I Hollywood movie, and they had a lot of the same gestures, with the hand up, just cross-cultural sort of thing, or maybe it's Hollywood's idea of what Siamese dances were like.
Hollywood movies, like song and dance. We get bored, India, all these younger generation, they prefer Hollywood movies.
Uh-huh.
Segment. South Indian states are Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, Kerala, and then Andhra Pradesh recently got divided into two states, so four states.
Did you or your family actually go into the ashram for Ramana Maharishi?
No, Jack. We went there in the evening. We kind of went.
Good.
We just went to the temple.
Just went to the temple.
Yeah, my sister wanted to go there.
Did you say you couldn't afford it?
Uh-huh.
Did you say you couldn't afford it?
No, we were in a rush. We had to go to
couldn't afford the time, not couldn't afford
time,
the cost.
Time,
okay.
Time,
all right.
Time. It's only 600 or 700 kilometers from Bangalore. So you can go there by road or flight. Transportation is not a problem. And then they have nice standard accommodations, star hotels.
Any other questions?
Yeah, there are some exhibits if you want. Just a few things, jewelry, if you want to take a look at.
Thank you very much, Emma.
Thank you.